This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I don't like it if you get more attention than I do. Earlier, before I got here, I understand that we had our reciter of the Quran recite to you the last verses of Surah Al-Hashr. And I felt that it was compulsory for us to give the meaning of this, especially for those who don't have the Arabic language, to take some benefit from it. The Rasul said in many of the khutbahs what means, well, in Arabic he said, for sure the best speech or words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book. So I think that's better than anything I have to say in Arabic. I know it is. So let me read this to you. This is more or less translation. I don't know whose translation it is. Everybody wants to put their own name on it. It starts out with, "Oh, you who believe." And the way they translate it, I'm positive that I should have brought my own with me, but anyway. When we use the word taqwa, it gets translated a lot of different ways, but you need to have taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which doesn't mean observe your duty, actually it means to put a partition between you and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's taqwa. And let every soul look for what it sends forward for the tomorrow, it means the future. And observe your duty to Allah, for He is cognizant of your actions. That means, in plain English, He's aware of what you're doing. And don't be of the people who forget Allah so that He'll cause them to forget themselves. These are the evildoers. The people of the fire and the dwellers of paradise are not the same. The dwellers of the paradise are victorious. And if Allah had caused the Quran to come down upon a mountain, you would have seen the mountain humbled, rent asunder out of fear of Allah, and such are the parables that Allah puts forth for mankind so that they can remember. Who Allah, He is Allah, beside whom there is none other worthy of any worship, nor of the what is seen and what is unseen. And He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the compassionate and the merciful. He is Allah, beside whom there is none other worthy of worship. He is the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One, the Source of Security, the Keeper of Faith, the Guardian, the Mighty One, the All-Powerful, the Proud. Because always be Allah above the partners they ascribe to Him. He is Allah, Creator, the Originator, and the One who shapes, the Modeler, they said. His are the most beautiful names, and all that is in the heavens and earth glorifies Him. He is Almighty, Almighty. How many of you have heard this recited in Arabic? You know it? Anybody here from Turkey? Anybody from Turkey? Put your hand up if you're from Turkey. No? But in Turkey, they read this in almost every salah. The imam is reading this in all the salah, all the time. They're reading the same over and over and over. By the way, guys, I'm not fasting. So if you want to send some water up here, I don't mind peppering. The subject we had for tonight is how far forward do you want me to move?
Not you. You can make an announcement.
I don't do it now.
Okay, I'll do it.
It says move forward to make room for people that want to sit down.
There's 23 chairs up.
They want me to make an announcement, but I told them I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to announce that they want you to move forward to make room for many people that are waiting for seats. I refuse to do that. I know my rights. The subject we have for tonight is going to be preempted by another subject. And if you want your money back, you can have it, okay? It was free, right? Okay, we'll give you double your money back. How about this? If you say we'll give you triple your money back. Sure, it was free, right? I remember what happened to me one time in Mississippi. I have this thing I like to play games with people's minds to kind of not trick them, but make them get in a position where they have to think and they have to act. So I had 14 doctors, medical doctors, in a little small masjid, and I was telling about meeting them there tomorrow morning for Fajr. On Saturday morning, we'll meet for Fajr. And they're like, you're going to come here for Fajr? Then how are you going to get in? I said, why? I said, it's locked at Fajr. I said, well, who has the key? All of us. So I started thinking, and I have this little, not trick, but some little thing that I do, or used to do until then. And that was, I told them, okay, guys, if somebody told you, you're doctors, you guys make lots of money, not like some of us. But if somebody told you you could have a $100 bill, crisp, brand new $100 bill, just show up here for 5 years in the morning, would you take it? I said, sure. Look at this. Doctors, surgeons, right? But still, $100? Yeah, I'll come. They just got through saying they never come. They just told me. In other words, they're going to come for $100. I said, $100. They said, each? I said, yeah. $100 or more. I said, or more? I said, $100 minimum or more. I said, oh? I said, yeah. Would you do it? I said, yeah. I said, what if somebody offered you a Hajj package tomorrow morning? If you just show up. I said, whoa, would that be better than $100? They said, yeah. And I said, and what if, you know, and I give them a long list of this and this, and I don't bother you with it. But anyhow, they said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll see you guys at Fajr. They said, who's going to give us this guy? You can have $100 or something better. I said, okay. I stayed in one of the doctor's houses, right? And he overslept. Okay. We're ready to go. My buddy was traveling with me, both of us. We're ready to go, but we got no driver and we're out in the country. So, sun came up. We're standing outside in the driveway, and he finally came out, and we're like, nah, We prayed in his driveway in front of his Mercedes. So now, he said, well, I guess we won't go. I said, no, we got to go. We went. He said, nobody's going to be here. I said, just go. We got there. There were 14 cars parked right there. When I walked in the door, they were like this, hey. I said, don't you want to hear the story? They said, hey, we're here. They were joking, but, and then I explained to them, if you come for Fajr in the morning and you stay in your place till the sun rises and you pray to Rakah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you the reward as if you made Umrah. And then in Ibn Majid and Tirmidhi, it has a hadith that says Umrah and Hajj. Umrah and Hajj. Hajj and Umrah, Mamrur. Accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I call it Hajj without visa. You don't need a visa. And you don't need the hadiyah. You don't need the slaughtering animal. You don't need the 2 cows for Ihram. Huh? You don't need to make a big vacation arrangement. You don't need that. Just come and do that. That's a good deal. And they're going, okay. So, don't you want to pray the 2 rak'ah and take that? I said, what about the $100? I said, well, if you take the $100, this is the deal. You have to go ahead and pray your fajr over again because I get the reward for the fajr, for the sunnah, and for this, the duha as well. And I said, I'm going to wait a minute, come on. Alhamdulillah, they accepted the work Allah gives them, but I didn't offer that anymore. That broke me in a bad habit of making up something like that. I wanted to talk about the translation of the Quran tonight. I think it's really, really important. I recall some time back, a couple of years back, I was up in New York, and there was a program, they had some speakers who came, and I was really disappointed at what one of the speakers said. He was an American like myself, a convert to Islam, and he works a lot in schools and helps children to learn the deen, and he's really good at what he does. But one of the things he said, it puzzled me and it upset the audience very bad. And his statement more or less was that all of the English speakers in the world should have only one translation of the Quran in English and that's it. And that'll be the representation of Quran in English language. And when he sat down, I said, are you joking? And he said, no, that's what it should be. Well, how many of you already know automatically what's wrong with that idea? Huh? Yeah, right. Don't even go there. As soon as you talk like that, what's going to happen? Immediately, everybody's going to say, which translation? And they're going to start a huge fight over something that's totally ridiculous because Quran is not Quran except in which language? Chinese. No. What? Arabic. Yeah. It's only in Arabic. Even the idea of translating Quran is something rather new. This is only the last few hundred years, this idea of making translation of Quran. Anybody want to learn Quran, they learn the Arabic language. Today they look at you like you're crazy. You say, well, would you like to know the Quran? You say, okay, yeah. Well, you need to learn Arabic. What? Learn Arabic? Are you crazy? I want to know what your book says. Now, why do I have to learn Arabic? That doesn't make any sense. Or does it? Now, if I say something, I should bring you some proof, right? Or can I just talk and say anything I want to say? Or do you like to have proof of what I said? I'm saying that for the first 1,200 years after the Quran is revealed, nobody's worried about translations. You want to know what it says? Learn Arabic. You want to know what it says? Learn Arabic. And don't give me this, what does this word mean in my language? What is that word? What is this word? What is that? How do I understand? No, no, no. Just learn Arabic. Today is so... All right. Let's change subject a little bit. You want a job, right? How many of you like working with a computer? Anybody? Only 5 people in the whole place like to work with a computer. What if I make dua right now, the rest of your computer will shut down and never open up? You got to play the game here, okay? This is how it works. You don't have to do much, but you got to raise your arms up and down. Hey, you want to know why I do that? I want to make sure you're still awake. I'm going to ask you again. How many of you like messing around with your computer? Nah, get it up there. I see something. They really thought I was going to make dua. But if... how many of you like to make more money than you're making right now? Just in case I was going to make dua for that. Yeah. So if somebody offered you a job right now, making more money than you make, and giving you the latest technology in computers, you'd say yes. Huh? Especially if it didn't interfere with what you're already doing, right? The only thing is, you're going to have to read a manual that has a lot of technical jargon in it, and you have to learn how to operate that new piece of free machinery they're going to give you. That's the only catch. Are you going to do it? You bet you are. I'm serious. I want you to just go back. Go back. Go back with me 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And 20 years ago, if anybody come up to you and talked about a bite, talking about bites, you'd be like, what are you talking about, mosquito bites? Right? Huh? Now all of a sudden you'll know all about megabytes, terabytes, right? And somebody's telling you about gigs. Now, 50 years ago, you told somebody about a gig. Hey, yeah, I got a good gig, man. I work over here at the... You told about your job. Now today, gigs are what? How is it you understand this language? Because you want to. I'm sorry, but anybody here ever been in a chat room? You ever used a chat room? You know what I'm saying? You know? Chat rooms? Yeah? Can you read that stuff they type? Where'd you learn that language? Huh? BTW. I said, what's a BTW? I said, I know a BMW. What's this? It means by the way. And whoa. First time I saw that, whoa, I said, what's whoa? I said, that's laughing out loud. And I said, who's roll? R-O-L. I said, that's... rolling on the land. What's that? And low road. What's low road? That's laughing out loud and rolling on the ground. Is it true or false? They have this crazy stuff in that little eye when they're talking about little eyes. It's irritating to somebody that's an English major. And finally, I used to complain about it in the chat room. We own a series of websites, as many of you heard, but one of the parts of our operation is a series of chat rooms. We own Chat Islam, Islam Chat, and some class, Islam class, things like that, and we did it. So in the beginning, I was trying to get everybody to use real English, and they're like, what's that? The important thing that I'm trying to get across is the message that if you want to do something, you do it. If you want to bad enough, you learn a new language. People are doing it all the time. Is anybody here from India? Or your relatives from India? Okay. Is English the number one language in India today? Or they still have Hindi as the number one language? What's the official language?
English.
Hindi?
No, English.
Official language?
English.
No, English. Hindi. Oh, I just left there last week and that's what they told me, okay? Anybody from Kerala? Kerala? Not Kerala. Yes, some Muslims told me Kerala. They said that it used to be Arabic, it was Kerala. I said, really? I believe it. And I get down there, it means coconut. The subject that I'm telling you about is that when you start talking about translating the Quran to another language and then making an official book that everybody has to use a certain one, this is ridiculous, it's ludicrous, and it's not in Islam. The Quran is in Arabic. If you want to know the Quran, you need to know the Arabic. And the evidence is in the Quran itself. In the Quran itself, it tells you it's a recitation in the Arabic language. Allah says in the Quran, He sent it down in which language? Arabic. And every single scholar of Islam has to learn Arabic language, and they have to learn the Quran in Arabic, or they're not a scholar. It's as simple as that. And all of your meetings, and all of your thinking, and all your rationalization is never going to change that. And in the very last days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pull up the Quran in the written form and in the recitation from the hearts of the people. That's what's going to happen. Now, how that comes about, the mechanics of it, I don't know and I don't pretend to know, but I don't want to be a party to whatever causes it to happen. It's an Arabic recitation. I'm speaking English now because you speak English. But for sure, if I want to recite this in my salah, it's not going to be in English. Now we have some, when they come into Islam, that they've been told by people they can recite Quran in their own language, in their salah. That's not true. If you don't know the Quran in Arabic and you need to do salah, you can do salah and just feel that part where the Quran goes with subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, for the first few times until somebody teaches you. But you have to learn at least Fatiha and another surah to do salah. And it has to be in Arabic language. The other thing is, when you have people who want to give this fancy English twist to it, make it sound like Shakespeare or something like that, that's not right either. If you're going to try to offer a translation of the meaning of the Quran, what you really need to do is have a better understanding of the tafsir of the Quran and present that instead of trying to get fancy and sound like that you swallowed a dictionary. Maybe you could let her parade over here on this or give her some slippers that are not quite as loud. Inshallah. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you understand what I just said? Everybody here, you want me to keep going on the subject or did you get it? Okay, because the topic they're talking about is taqleed. What is taqleed? It means to blindly follow something. Is that good or bad? Blindly follow. How about this? The blind leading the blind. That's like a joke, isn't it? When somebody says the blind leading the blind. And then the opposite side is rational evidence. Blind following or rational evidence. And I use this as my example for you. Would we just accept somebody who says, oh, we should do blah, 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 and he has no proof of what he said? And I just gave you the evidence from the Quran itself. Is that good enough evidence?
Yeah.
It should be for a Muslim. But what do we mean by taqleed? Well, it's an Arabic word, and in practice what we're talking about is when somebody is taking deen, the deen, we're only talking about that aspect, the deen, from a source without knowing where it came from or not caring. Just somebody comes up to you today and says, you know, when you pray, you know, you ought to go to the southeast. Have you heard this one? When you pray, pray to the southeast. Have you heard this? Anybody heard about it? Why? Well, look, when I look at my map, I take my map, I'll spread it out there. Look, go to Chicago and put a pin right there and stretch it over there, right there, to look at Saudi Arabia, southeast. Anybody ever did that? Did you do it? Be honest. Come on, everybody in the room. You know you did. You went, hey, how come we're praying the wrong way? Okay. I'm going to be fair with you because I did the same thing the first time. I went, whoa, what's that? But, what's wrong with what we're doing already? We're judging. We're making a judgment on what? Where two things are. Chicago is here. Saudi Arabia is right there. Now, if you want to go exactly with what you just said, then that means it's only about a foot and a half away, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a foot and a half away. You need to back up to make salah. You're too close. And you said, no, it's just a picture. Ah, you're right. And it's not even the scale. Oh, you're right. Oh, and there's one other little small detail. According even to the Christians, that Christopher Columbus discovered, it's not true, discovered the earth is what shape? Rectangle? Pear? Huh? Round? Round. Okay, we'll go with round. Paris is pretty close to them. But the map you're looking at is flat. Because if you keep going off that book, you're going to fall down. So what you have to do, and do this, get globe. Now, if you don't want to buy a globe, because you're going to use it only for this experiment, go to Target. They have them right there. You can use theirs. Just go to them. Go to Target. Take two pins. You know those thick pins that you put in a thing on a wall? The little holder thing? Take two pins and a piece of string. Stick one pin in Chicago. Stick another one in Saudi Arabia. It, Mecca. Take the string. Tie it on this pin and pull it. Pull it over there and hook it up. But make sure you go the shortest distance around there. And guess which way it's going to go? Which way will it go? It's going to make the real straight line. The shortest distance between two points is called the what? Straight line. Yeah, that's what they taught us in school. Shortest distance between two points is straight line. And the shortest distance on a curved surface, you have to try the string to be short, because it just happens that here we are looking at the way a human being decided that this is the way the earth looks. But it's a human being living in North America that makes these maps. Anybody from Australia? Anybody here from Australia? You ever been to Australia? If you live down there and you're looking at the map, it always looks wrong. In fact, they got maps down there that are totally different than what we have. And what if somebody's at the south or the north pole? It'd be a whole different picture, because as soon as you flatten it out, look at Greenland sometime. How big is Greenland? Have you ever looked at Greenland on one of these flat maps? Man, it's big. It's bigger than the United States. But when you look at it on the globe, it's real small. Why? Because when you flatten it out, you have to stretch it out. So it doesn't make any sense. But people blindly followed that. I'm not going to tell you who did it, but somebody in California. I don't know if that's enough to say that. If you know, don't say his name, okay? But somebody became an imam, American. He became an imam out there. And he told everybody in the whole masjid they had to turn southeast to pray, because he took his map and he looked on the flat map. And for a long time they were doing it. It was causing some huge problems. And they tried to reason with, no, our sheikh said, you know. Blindly following without considering. I travel all over the world. I spend a lot of time traveling, going in and out of airports, going in and out of taxis and cars, trains, planes, and automobiles. Could work that into a movie. John Candy can play me. No, he died. He can't do that. So, that was a movie. What I'm saying is that when I'm traveling around, if I take advice from people, a lot of times it's pretty good, but sometimes it's totally off. If I don't check it out, if I don't verify it, I can wind up really lost. In fact, it happened to us today. We were trying to go somewhere and they were getting the information maybe from somebody not giving the best directions. Oh, I thought I told you turn right. No, you said turn left. Well, yeah, if you were coming the other way, it would have been the... It's like, guys, we're late. We're trying to go somewhere. Well, this is what happens when you don't check it out. You have to verify it. You have to go back and just be sure. When somebody tells you, you come into Islam like I did, when you don't know anything at all, and right away they're going to ask you, what kind of Muslim are you? You go, what do you mean? What kinds are there? Because I was told, when I came to Islam, you know, we don't have the problem that the churches have. I was told that. We don't have the thing about, like, in the churches where everybody's this and that. We're just Muslims. Alhamdulillah, it sounds great, you know. And everybody's your brother and everybody's your sister. You've got 1.5 billion brothers and sisters. I said, really? Really? Can I write them off on my income tax? No, okay, well, it's worth a shot. But it's nice to have all these brothers and sisters. It is. And everybody would believe the same thing. One God. We know who is our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. and one Quran. That's it. That's good. Next thing I know, somebody saying, "What kind of Muslim are you?" I'm going, fat? What do you mean? Old? What they're saying, basically, they want to know what particular madhab you're following. That's what they were asking about. When they said, "What is your madhab?" I'm like, "Well, what? The madhab." No clue. "Well, we'll know when you pray." I said, "Okay." It's kind of scary, you know. I made Shahada on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And the first time I saw a Muslim prayer actually do Salah in congregation was on Friday. Okay? And I had a Catholic priest with me. He also made Shahada the night before I did. And if you heard this story or read about it, you know how that went. And so here we are, we went to Masjid, and the first thing I have, somebody comes up to me and says, "Are you a Muslim?" I'm going, "Now why in the world would I come to a place like this and take my shoes off and get on?" But, you know, okay, I'll just say yes and let it go. And I said, "Yeah." But I said, only Allah knows for sure. He said, "No, you have to tell us, are you a Muslim or not?" I said, "Does God know what's in my heart?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Then he knows, right?" He said, "No, you have to tell us." I said, "Okay, I'm Muslim." "Yeah," he said, you should do that. "You have to tell us." Okay. Then we'll go inside, and the brother with us, trying to help us out, he's telling us that when you go into mind your way, you went up there.
No? What's there?
You better get a union card. Chicago's big on unions, you know. They told us to be real quiet. And when the man starts speaking, he's going to come in, he's going to, you know, walk over there, he's going to sit down, he's going to stand up, he's going to talk a while, he's going to sit down, he's going to stand up again. And all the time he's doing all this stuff, don't say anything. Okay? Don't say anything. Don't even go, shh, to somebody who does say something. Okay? So, alright. We're sitting there, and then, sure enough, here comes this guy. Walk in. Blah, blah, blah. He sat down. What he said was not like fun, but, you know, it's like, Rajasana. Don't say anything. And then everybody said, "Salaam alaikum," back to him. And we're going, "Oh." Hell, I felt, you know. We didn't know. Then the man stood up. He started singing. "Oh, wait, wait, wait." He's like, "This guy doesn't know the rules either." Well, I just go by what he told me. After he got through with his song, he sat down. You know, to somebody brand new, you can see how it looks. This is hysterical. But to that person, they're going, "Oh." But I never forget when the imam stood up, though. He's from Syria. He's a very big man. He's still in. I mean, he moved up close where I am now. But he was still learning English, I think, a little bit back in those days. But whatever, he got up on the minbar. Oh my God, this guy is saying, and this is in my head, you know. "This guy is saying we're going to take over this country. And then we're going to enslave all these people. And then it's all this fantasy in your head. And then he stopped. And he said, "All the praises to God. And we thank him. And we seek refuge in him from the evil of our sins." He's going, "What's this?" can't make enough for what he just said or what? I'm trying to understand what happened here. And then every time he would get Arabic, he would get a translation. And finally I figured out this must be something about what he's saying. He must be giving us. But I can't ask anybody. I can't do anything. I just had to keep sitting there, you know. When the Salat the Jummah was over, I didn't really want to get into this stuff, but I just want to tell you what happened afterwards. After it was over, the khutbah part, it was time to stand up. He said, "Ikam Salat," and we got up. And the priest, ex-priest, now Muslim, is standing on my left side right here. I stood up. And we knew how to pray. We were experts because we've been praying for 2.5 days already. We knew nothing. But we knew to stand next to each other and try to follow this brother who was in front of us, who would try to help us. But he had to be the imam, so we couldn't see what to do. Anyway, we stood there like this, and pretty soon the priest turned over to me and he said, "This guy's touching my shoulder." He said, "This guy's doing the same thing." He said, "He's trying to put his foot on me." I said, "He's getting up. Yeah, here it comes." He said, "Let's go back." We stepped back. This is a joke we did. We stepped back to the next row. And we stand there, okay. He said, "This guy's touching me too." I'm like, "Man, what is it with these people? These foreigners, you know?" Okay, another step back. We kept moving back from the first, well, the third row or something. We went all the way back to the back of the marshal bed. Alhamdulillah, we finally got back where the Pakistanis were. True story. It is a true story. But this kind of softens you up because the subject I'm going to give you is really one that will set some people off. They get really uptight. So I'm trying to kind of relax you a little bit before I hit you with it. There is a lot in Islam to discover. It's a very wide and a very deep and a very wonderful topic, the word Islam. Just by itself, even the word, the meaning, there's nothing in English like it. That's why it can't be translated. We've translated a lot of words into English, a lot, but that's one of the words that won't translate. Even though some Muslims, when you ask them, what is Islam, they'll say, "Islam is peace." Have you heard that? "Islam is peace! Peace, brother!" Immediately you can shoot that down and prove that's not true. Islam is not peace. When I stood up here and started the program, did I say a greeting to you? Do you remember a greeting? What did I say? Oh, I turned someone. Okay. Did I say Islam alaikum? No. Okay. So we know that that's not right, is it? So the word itself even doesn't translate. How about the depth of Islam and the facets of Islam and the things that go with it? Recently we did a series of 52 shows for the children on Peace TV called Stories of the Prophets. I had about 5 days left on the schedule because I finished my stuff ahead of schedule. And I told them, "Let's do another series. I want to do 30 shows called Facets of Islam." And they were like, "How are you going to do 30 shows? What are you going to talk about?" I said, "Different aspects of Islam." They said, "Oh, that's going to be a lot." I said, "Trust me. There's nothing. There are many, many aspects of Islam. There's so many facets to Islam. It's almost endless if you can talk about." And we did the 30 shows in, I think, about 4 days. Really quick. So if you can imagine all of this, there's a lot of knowledge about Islam out there. Is that right? Many, many books have been written on the subject of Islam and the things related to Islam. Yes?
Yes.
And when it comes to the Quran, many books have been written about the Quran, right? Many. كثيرين. There have been books written about just one surah of the Quran, right? And there have been books written even about one ayah in the Quran. Is that true?
No.
Ayatul Kursi. Many books written about it. There have been books written about one word in the Quran. Is that true?
Yes.
Can you think of one of the words in the Quran that has many books written about it? Allah. There have been books even written about a single letter in the Quran. In fact, one of the Turkish scholars wrote books about letters in the Quran. Words and letters. And even somebody told me that there has been a book some scholar wrote about the point, the dot, written below the ba in Bismillah. No other faith group on earth has so much information provided about so many vast and wonderful subjects. Is that true? It's amazing. Having said that, that's all knowledge though. None of it is wisdom. Wisdom is when you can put what you know into practice for maximum benefit for everybody concerned. That means knowing what to say, and when to say it, and knowing what not to say. Is that true? Yeah. That's a fact. Again, I'm leading up to this subject of what is real taqleed. When somebody asks you what kind of Muslim you are, and immediately in your mind, you have an answer. And as soon as you put a word in there, where did you get the word from? And why do you think that? Who told you that? Did you choose it or did somebody teach you that? Did you grow up with that? And exactly what do you mean by that? What does that bring up in your mind when you say that I'm a Muslim, this kind of Muslim or that kind of Muslim? Because that really will determine what you think about what you said will determine a lot about your Islam. And a lot of it is not really rational. Even though you are going to argue with me, I've heard these arguments coming all the time. But it's not really rational because you can't prove what you're saying from the two points. We only have two points in Islam that we're going to look at, and they really come down to one person, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't know anything of hadith except that he has something to do with it. If he has nothing to do with the hadith, it's not a hadith. It's just a nice story, but it's not a real hadith according to Islamic parents when we use this term hadith. We're talking about hadith of Rasul, not just a story. And when you talk about the Quran, you don't know a single thing about the Quran except that all had to come out of the mouth of Prophet Muhammad. Because it's Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's no other person that received wahi that we consider part of Islam. There's nobody else coming up with anything like, somebody say, well, maybe one of his relatives came up with some part of the Quran. Would you believe that? That the angel Jibril went to one of his wives? Or his daughter? Or anything else? No, you're not going to buy that, are you? No. So everything we know has to come from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you can't get any evidence from him, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah, then where did you get it from? Earlier today we had a program, not too far from here. We had about 30 in attendance or so online, and then about another 30 maybe in the room. I wanted to broadcast this live, but we couldn't hook it up. We were short 20-foot of cable and didn't make it. Alhamdulillah. What we were talking about is this, the value of your opinion. Now, you're entitled to an opinion. You know that. Every human being is entitled to an opinion. You didn't have that. Allah gave you that right. You can think what you want to think. Can't always say it, but you can think it. But what is your opinion worth? You want to know what your opinion is worth? How many people are on the earth today? Six? Is it 6 billion? Huh? Write it on the wall. 6,000,000,000, oops. You got 6 billion, yeah? Now put a line over the top of that, okay? And then put you over the top of that one. That's your value. That's the value of your opinion, which is equal to one snowflake in Chicago right now, okay? That's it. That has a value. Not much, but that's your opinion. And that's the opinion of any of us today. If I can't back up that opinion with the Quran and the Sunnah, related to the Quran and Sunnah, then what I've got is 1 over 6 billion. In other words, I think you see the point real clear, it doesn't work. When it comes to the subject of Islam, Allah said in the Quran, al-yawm al-akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, or rather, tu'lakum Islam dinakum. The na'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the favor He's conferring on us because He says, on this day I have perfected for you your way of life. Conferred my biggest na'mah, favor on you, and chose for you to submit in al-Islam. Is that right? Is it? Did it say perfected? Is the meaning of the word in Arabic? If you know Arabic, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I read a bad translation. So if Allah perfected the deen 1400 years ago, who are we to change it? Who has anybody got the right to come up later with something else? That's Sheikh so-and-so. Well, let's see. How many people are alive at his time? Only 4 billion? Okay, just change to 6 to a 4. Still comes out to be what? It doesn't work. Now, we have some groups today. When I came into Islam, I was with two extreme groups in the same masjid. Group X and Group Y. Now, by the way, this is nothing about Y Islam. That's another group. X and Y as in an example only. Nothing to do with Y Islam. The one group on one side, they're following their sheikhs blindly. Blindly following their sheikhs. Their sheikh says anything, alhamdulillah, sheikh said so and so today, that's it. The other group, yeah, they were following their sheikh blindly. And anytime the sheikh said anything, they say, alhamdulillah, sheikh said so and so, now that's it. And by the way, they would point at each other and say, and these people, these are people of Ahlul Bid'ah. Now there's one group saying, those are Ahlul Bid'ah. The other group said, and these are the Ahlul Nar. So on the one side we got people of the fire, and then the other side we got people of the Bid'ah going to the fire. According to them. This is what I was supposed to from the very beginning. It's not like, look at this. This doesn't sound nice. Well, at least they would smile and shake hands and salam alaikum, alaikum salam. And some of them wouldn't. They'd just be like, in the same masjid. Both of them saying that their sheikhs are relying on Quran and Sunnah, but they didn't, either one of them, take the time to go and look at it. By the time, and I couldn't argue with any of them because I knew it was wrong. You can tell when something's wrong. You smell it, it's wrong. But because they're only going to accept it in Arabic from Quran or from the Hadith, and I can't do that, I'm 4 days old in Islam. I have no clue, a ba from a ta. But I knew it was wrong. I took the imam aside. I told him, I'm old enough to be your father. And what I see you guys are doing in your masjid, you're going to destroy this thing. This is bad. And it's not right. And if you want to bring, because you're telling me you want to bring other people in, you want, suppose I go back to my church and invite everybody to come in. And I wanted to do that. I said, but I'm going to do it like this. You guys are fighting. That same day, I told you about the first part. I wasn't going to tell you all, but I got to get this point across. Years that I've been around gatherings of faith groups, and I never imagined I would hear anybody say that. In the back of the room, standing right against the wall, from here to that wall right there, the brother stood up. He had a portable amplifier and a microphone. Oh, I'm not lying. And I'm thinking, this guy was prepared. What's wrong with that? I think there was right back. We used to sell them in our store. And my little battery operator asked that mic. He said, these are the people who are there. They take all of our stuff. They all of them. They all of them. No, you're good. No, you're good. I looked over at the priest and he said, the day I'm going, ooh. He said, well, what do you think? I said, I think we're in the right place. He said, why did you say that? I said, because I think the Shaitan just came to both of these guys to put this show on to scare us away. Because if we stay in this land, Shaitan knows we're going to bring a lot of people. And wallah, that's exactly what happened. So many people come to this land because I know my people. I know what to talk to them about. I know what to stay away from. And I tell them, it's real simple. You believe that in the law, they're going to go, what? If you tell them, you believe in God? You want to do what God wants you to do? Yes or no? Okay, well, then we got a platform to begin with. We'll start with that. So many people have been able to, just from a few words, get the picture of Islam. Alhamdulillah, that's from Allah, not from me. But look at this. I told the priest, I'll bet you that these guys never did that before, and I bet they never do it again. In fact, before the next week, both of them went to the other and said, I'm sorry, that was very wrong, that's not Islam, we apologize, this is not the way to do business, blah, blah, blah. And then they never did it again. In fact, they became pretty good friends. Then they're both Arabs. It's not like it was a different cultural, you know, different. No, they were very close to each other. It's just how Shaitan comes to us. The subject that we're talking about is when you blindly follow something, so much so that you can't think straight anymore. That's exactly what's wrong with Iblis. Does Iblis know that Allah exists, yes or no?
Yes.
Does he deny Allah exists?
No.
Never. In fact, does he deny that Allah is the greatest? No. Did he used to worship Allah? Yeah. What's the problem then? What makes him what he is? Allah told you in the Quran very clear. What is the word in Arabic? Kibr. Kibr means what in English, more or less?
Arrogance.
Arrogance, not pride. Arrogance. Pride, you can be proud. I'm proud. This the day I left, this came from a dear sweet sheikh in UAE sent this to me. Alhamdulillah. I get my care packages all the way from UAE. Anyway. Not joking. So I'm proud of that. But when somebody is arrogant, that's a problem. And this is kibr. Kibr is arrogance. And that's when, excuse me, what are you doing on stage with me? Did you buy a ticket for? That's arrogance. You can stay free. Yes. Arrogance. You know, when you condescend and look down on people like, hey, when you do that, that's arrogance. And that's the real problem with Iblis, isn't it? He refuses to bow down. That's why he said, I'm better than Adam. So, if we're going to bust this thing, if we're going to ever break through it, that's what we're going to all have to deal with. You're going to have to take your own arrogance aside and throw it out the window. You're going to have to realize there's only one Islam, there's only one kind of Muslim. Just like there's only one Allah. can't do that, then we're really falling into the same trap with the Buddhists. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you think you have a pretty good idea what I'm talking about. But if I lay you down and start naming groups, you're going to say, oh, you're in that group then. I remember that I was showing somebody something one time, and somebody passed by and was listening to me telling a new person about Islam. I was saying, when you do this, you do something. You do what? I said, you go, you put your hands there. Oh, you're a Wahhabi. Just like that. A what? How did you get this name from me? Yeah, we who's we? There's one guy standing there. Maybe he had a mouse in his pocket. He said, we put our hands here when we do salah. I said, okay. Have you seen these problems?
Yes.
So, that's what they meant when they said, when we see you do salah, we'll be able to tell what kind of Muslim you are. We're going to watch. Yeah? When he comes through the door, when the brand new guy coming in tomorrow, and he's coming in the door, get ready. All right? I'm ready. Came in on the left foot, start for a long. He's walking toward the bar. Oh, he stopped. He's turning over to the wudu area. Okay, water goes from this way, not this way. Jeffrey Pick. Well, just wiped over his socks. He better be a traveler. What is the fever? And then, when he gets up to the Islam, the Tayyat al Masjid, greeting to the Masjid. Allahu Akbar. Look where it is! He didn't thumb his ears. That's Ken throwing soft just for that alone. Is it? We're writing the guy up. How long are his pants? Oh, bro. Get that? You see it, Miss Wang? No, I didn't see it. We didn't have one. How long is his beard? That isn't a beard. That's overnight growth. I think this is sufficient right here. I think we can write him up. That's it. Huh? You need the most. Here, get out. And that's before we even look at what he does with his finger during this prayer. You know the sad part about it? You know what makes it not funny? It's true. It's true. And I've watched brothers come up to other brothers and start right away. Happened to me. I'd already been the Imam of our masjid for 4 years, and I like to go over and visit the masjid that we helped build. I love the brothers over there, but I can't stand to be with them, but I still love them. But I stopped by over there one day, where I had a jama'ah with me, some brothers, and we stopped, we were going to do salah and go back. Went in through the door, there's a brand new brother there. Said, Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum. Okay. What's your name, brother? He told us his name, whatever it was. I said, okay. He said, where are you from? West Virginia or Virginia somewhere. I said, okay. So, how long have you been Muslim? He said, long enough, brother. I said, okay. 6 months. Okay. He said, what kind of Muslim are you? I said, what are you asking me this question? We came in here to pray. He said, no, brother, you have to be in a particular madhhab. You have to. I said, really, what's a madhhab? He said, you know. I said, no, help me out here. What is it? He said, well, you have to be in one. I said, well, what is it? What does it mean what, in English? You know what it means in English? You just have to be in one. There's four, and you have to choose one. I said, which one? one's the best one. That's the one I want. He named a particular one. I said, and that's what you're in. He said, yeah. I said, coincidentally, it's the best one. I said, are you sure about this? He said, yeah. I said, how do you know? He said, everybody knows it. Is that a rational argument? Is it a rational argument? Everybody knows it. Yeah, that's it. If everybody in the earth, the majority, let's just go with the majority. The majority of the people on the earth, they all agree on something. Does that make it right?
Nope.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How many say yes?
No.
You voted for Bush? I know how to handle the hecklers. Don't take my word for it. Let's see what Allah said about it, okay? Majority of human beings are going that way. Which way do you want to go?
But Allah.
Majority are going that way. Which way do you want to go?
Allah.
Anyway but that way. Anyway but that way. Why? This is in Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr. Inna insana lafi khusr. Stop. We won't go to the exception. Allah said, and he's swearing, and when Allah swears, it's not a joke. He's swearing about something. We don't even understand the time extension, the time compendium. We have no clue what is time. And Allah is swearing by us. That inna, which is certainly, all of the human beings are in khush, bankruptcy, on the day of Yom Hisab and can't pay up. That means they're going to hell. All the human beings are going to hell, illa, except, and except means here, less than the majority. Illa ladina amanu, come to the right belief, wa amanu salihat, and do the deeds of the righteous people. Wa tawassaw bilhaq, wa tawassaw bisabr. And they have to encourage and exhort each other in all the haqqa la ilaha illallah wa rasulullah, and to encourage and exhort each other to be steadfast and persevering. You thought it was sense of patience, didn't you? But that's in there too. So, what I'm trying to get across now is that if you see the majority of people doing anything, be careful of it. Now, on the other side of the coin though, if it's Muslims, there is this. Within the Muslim Ummah, the Prophet ﷺ told us, in good hadith, verified hadith, that even until the last day, the vast majority of the Ummah will not agree together upon what is misguidance. So that's good news. So whenever I can't decide if a sheikh is really honored or not, then I look to what the general population of Muslims are agreeing upon. Not disagreeing upon, but what they agree upon, and I find that all the Muslims that I've talked to, vast majority, have agreed that the thing we are is Muslims. We are Muslims first. Therefore, I don't feel uncomfortable saying I'm a Muslim. Muslim, that's it. And they say, well, you have to be more, okay, I'll be a Muslim. You want more? You know where I'll go with that. When I came back from Mexico a few years back, when I got off the airplane, I didn't have to wait to get into customs before I got my special treatment. They were waiting for me at the door, and they were going like that. Let me go. You want me? Kindly old man, what do you want with me? I knew, you know, and they took me aside and they started in the question, la, 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 where did you go? Where did you see? La, la, la. And then even, did you see any terrorists and did you talk about? Yeah, sure. Then it came to the end of the thing and said, oh, one more question. What kind of Muslim are you? I remember when I got Islam, I heard that one. But I got this quirk inside me. I cannot just roll over and go, I'm this or I'm that. I can't do that. So I said, fat. He said, what? I said, I'm not fat, Muslim. I'm trying to lose weight. I did it. Hallelujah. But I did it with straight face. And he's like, no. Sorry, I said, I'm asking you, you know, what type of Muslim? I said, oh. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Be positive. Blood type, you didn't know. That's not real. So, I said, sir, are you a Shiite? Are you a Sunni? Are you Salafi? Are you Wahhabi? Are you? And they got the list. Now, I know that list because some of us that work for the government, we help put it together. We know about the list, even at the right order. He's going about and going along and going, No. Whoa, what's that? Can I see that? That's no Hebrewish Muslim. That's interesting. Come on. You need halal or kosher, either way. So, I'm not joking. Hebrewish Muslim is on their list. 5 percenters. Did you hear about 5%? How many of you heard of 5%? 5%ers. What about the other 95%? Woo! When he got all done, I said, no. I wanted to go, but I couldn't get in. My pride, I guess. I couldn't do it. I said, I guess I'm a Christian Muslim. Again, I'm not laughing. I'm just like, I said, what? I said, wasn't that Hebrewish Muslim? He said, I don't have that on me. I said, well, I was a Christian and I became a Muslim. He said, okay. You can go. I was Houston, Texas. I hadn't been back through there again. No intention of going back there. I got a few that'd be waiting for me down there. Especially after they hear the recordings of this stuff, you know. Oh, they don't have to wait for the recordings. I forgot they got their direct pipe in right from... Oh. How's it going? Yeah. That lead is bad. Was it to take you out of Islam? It's not just that you're going to hurt your relationship with each other and you're hurting your families and you're hurting your ummah. You're hurting your chances of even getting into Jannah. And to follow a madhab without knowing why you're doing it is not good. You need to find out what it is you're doing and why. Anybody here know something about something called Hanafi? If you do, raise your hand. If you know something about it, raise your hand. Okay. Is anybody here think they're Hanafi? Raise your hand. Is your name Hannah? Is it? You think your name is Hannah? No. Okay. There's somebody who used to live about 1,200 years ago. His name was Abu Hanifa. Did you hear about him?
Yes.
Yeah. If you're not a descendant from him, I guess you're not really a Hannah. I don't think so. Do you know what he said? It's on one of my websites. It's very clear, his statement. It translates to English. And by the way, he learned Arabic. All of the Muslims at that time learned the Arabic language. I'm back on my original kick, you know. Learn Arabic. Even if you can't pronounce it right, I don't. But you try. He said, I forbid anybody to take what I'm teaching unless you know where I got it from. He let himself off the hook. He said, I forbid anybody to take what I'm teaching unless you know from where it came, where I got it from. So don't say, I pray like this because I'm Hanafi, because on the day of judgment, I guarantee he's not going to be with you. He's not going to be making intercession for anybody. It's Prophet Sallallahu that will be doing that, and he's not going to be siding up with one madhab over another. We also have quotes from Imam Malik, from Imam Shafi, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And all of them essentially boil down to this. I'm going to have to shorten the part of the talk and just tell you that they said the same thing. If what I'm teaching, if I say anything that I say is not in line with Quran and Sunnah, take what I said and throw it away. That's what they said. Most of us on the planet today that are Muslim don't know. We do not know what they even said.
Yeah.
We're just taking stuff out of books.
The mic. You could read the questions. Okay.
Don't worry, I got that. There it is. We have a beautiful deen. We have something that was perfected by Allah. And if anybody wants other than what He sent down in Revelation, which is the Quran and His Prophet, He says, "One mom yabtaghi ghayra al-Islam ad-deena." This is very clear. This is verse number 85 in surah number 3 in Al Imran. Allah says, I'm going to give you a full translation, inshallah, so that we don't leave it. He said, if anybody wants a way of life, deen, way of life, other than the way that He has ordained for us to follow, then he's not going to accept it. In the next life, they're going to be little losers. That includes anybody. That is not just saying religion, because it includes the so-called Muslims. It means you cannot, if you translate the word deen correctly, it means you cannot get away with the idea that, hey, I'm a Muslim. I said, la ilaha illallah. If I don't do salam, so what? You can't get away with it, because you understand now, you have to do the deen, and the deen includes 6 things you believe, 5 things you have to put into practice. Minimum, if you don't have that, you can't claim to be Muslim. 6. Allah, He's one, unique, not like His creation, not in the creation. The creation is not Him, He's not the creation. He's always in control, never been out of control. Allah is not having problems. We're the ones that have the problems. 2. You have to believe in Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And by believing in Him, you automatically have to believe in all the other prophets, including that Jesus is the Messiah, the miracle birth, and coming back in the last day. 3, you have to believe in all the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them. It means, even though we don't have them anymore, you believe that they originally came from Allah. And then 4, you have to believe in the Malaika. The Malaika are absolutely perfect in everything they do because they don't have any free choice. They are doing Allah's commands, and the devil is not a fallen angel. He's from the jinn. He always had free choice. That's how he got in trouble. Same way we get in trouble. The day of judgment, you're going to come back with a body. There's some group of Muslims, even here in Chicago, they're saying, no, that's not true. That's against Islam. We will be resurrected with a physical body. And it will be naked, because the Prophet ﷺ said that's going to be the condition. And his wife asked him, she said, what will people be looking at us? He said, everybody's going to be so concerned about themselves that day, they're not even going to know about anybody else. We're all going to be saying, nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. Myself, 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 what's going to happen to me today? That's the reality of the Yawm al-Qiyamah. There is a judgment day. You have to believe in that. And ipso facto, you also are going to believe in the Jannah, the paradise, and the hellfire. And finally, to believe in the predestination of Allah. that it's all going to happen according to his plan. If you don't believe that, don't worry. You're not there yet. You're working on it. I hope you make it. But those are the conditions set forth by Prophet. He said that this was not optional. And this was the Prince Hadith of Jibril. Most of you know what I'm talking about. He came to teach you your religion, or your deen, actually. The five actions to make public declaration and statement of what you believe. If you're too ashamed of it, then Allah doesn't need you. But you can't stand up and say, I believe there's only one God, and He's the only one that I need to worship, and I need to do what He wants to do, and I want to keep His commandments. If you can't do that, then Allah doesn't need you. Second one is, establish the salah, the regular worship that Allah has prescribed for all of His prophets, and now it's for all of the Muslims as well. Third is to establish the Salam Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan. When it comes, you fast. And then, to pay the zakah, which is not an income tax. It's only a wealth, it's a wealth purification. Don't even think of it like a tax. This is something very nice. Cleans your wealth up. 2.5% of your holdings that you didn't touch for a year, then give it to the poor. And then finally, to make the Hajj or the pilgrimage once in the life when Allah makes a way for you to go in, it's safe. That is Islam. If anybody denies any part of that, they got a problem. I'm going to end now by telling you something. Because I know most of what I said tonight, you're going to remember it tomorrow. You won't. People always do that. Even if they think, no, I'll remember all this. Okay, sure you will. Tomorrow somebody asks you, hey, where'd you go last night? Oh, I went over that masjid of so-and-so over there. Oh, okay. And what happened? Oh, that funny guy over there. What'd he say? He said, I don't know, it's pretty funny though. So, I want to tell you about this. Now you're going to decide you want to go out and call the people to Islam. How many of you here, you really would like now to go help people get into this beautiful thing? You want to do it? You want to do it? Okay. So you're going to get a card, and you're going to write down some notes tonight. I've got all the secrets. Yusuf Estes told me everything. I'm going to go get down. So you go to work. You get into work. Imagine this happened maybe to some brother. He goes in, and he's got some pamphlets in his pocket now, and he's decided, I'm going to do dawah. Start to talk to somebody at work. I want to tell you about the Lord. I want to tell you about Allah. Well, these are Christians. They've heard all this stuff before. You know, okay, you're going to give me some of your dawah. Okay, go for it. Well, you know, there's only one God. Christians already say that they believe that. How they believe it's strange, but so, yeah, and Muhammad's his prophet, so that's fine. Okay, and I have a pamphlet. Okay, what's this number 2 point you got right there? What is it? What is salad? 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 No, salat. Or whatever. What does it mean? Well, this is a ritual that we Muslims pray 5 times a day. And how does it work? Where you stand and you just, what time? Well, you know, around noon or around. You've been working here 7 years. We never said good. Well, I'm a Muslim, but I don't do salah. What's the second one? Zakat. Well, it's zakat. Whatever. Say you pay 250%. No, it's 2.5% of the wealth of it. So do you do that? Well, it's too hard to figure out that, you know, the fractions of that. It's never had time. I'm a Muslim, but I didn't ever pay the zakat. Okay. What's Ramadan? No, it's Ramadan. That's the month where we are fasting. And really? Well, didn't I hear on the radio today you guys are just starting Ramadan? Yeah, today's Ramadan, that's right, yeah. So what's that Pepsi in your hand? Well, I'm Muslim, but I don't fast. And Hajj, what's Hajj? No, that's Hajj. Whatever. It says here you have to go once in your life to Mecca Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
You ever go? Well, see, it costs a lot of money to go, and you have to take off from work, and it's a very, you know, it's a big thing for somebody to do that, you know. Well, last year you took off a whole month, and you went down to Epcot Center in Disney World. What was you doing, toe off around Mickey Mouse? Well, I'm a Muslim, but, it says here Muslim men are supposed to grow a beard. What happened to yours? Oh, listen, but, says here Muslim women are supposed to wear this covering over called a hijab. Hijab, whatever. We saw your wife at the Christmas party last year, and she sure wasn't wearing no hijab. Well, I'm a Muslim, but... Oh, we get it. You're a Muslim, but... Good. Hope you get a backbone and a neck and a head, a couple arms and legs, and be a whole Muslim instead of just a butt.
Very powerful.
Anyhow, I stepped on your toes for one night, so I'm going to go ahead and jump on the next subject. The only reason I really came over here to Chicago anyway is because I wanted to see if anybody would like to be a Muslim. Because you guys, you're already Muslim buds.
I mean, I'm sorry. Sorry. Slip.
Sometimes you say what you're thinking, you know. Anyhow, or something like that. And I got this one thing up here that kind of got my attention a while ago. I put my glasses back on. How many people here are Muslims? Raise your hand. No, I'm not going to ask more than that. That's it. How many are not Muslim? Yet. You enjoying yourself tonight? Having a good time? Yeah. Did you laugh at all my jokes? Attaboy. Who's the other one? Oh, okay. What's your name?
Carlos.
Carlos, ¿cómo estás? I'm the luck. I didn't know I knew so much Spanish. Anyway, I got this one. It says, I'm thinking about converting to Islam and I need advice. I think it came from the sister side. Is that right? Is that where this came from? Somebody? Don't be shy. Sent the paper up here. If anybody wants to convert to Islam, I will tell you that some parts of it are really easy and some parts of it are really hard. Which do you want first, the good news or the bad news? Good news? Well, the good news is you already were a Muslim. Everybody was already a Muslim when they were born, because Islam has some very lovely teaching. Every single human being, when they start out, start with a clean slate, and they're already in beautiful shape with Allah. All human beings, when they're born, regardless of the beliefs or disbeliefs of their parents, Allah accepts them because He knows what His religion really is. And He accepts all babies, all children. If they die, they immediately go to paradise. Regardless of what we say or do, it doesn't matter. Those babies are okay. Every single baby. Nice teaching, huh? That's some good news. Bad news is that the Prophet ﷺ told us that the children start out in the right way, but then their parents will raise them to become Jews, Christians, fire worshippers, or whatever else. The parents will influence the child to become what they are. But the child starts out right. Allah gives the child that head start. So if you would like to come to Islam, you're not going to be going to something as strange as you might think. You're actually coming back to your original starting point. And that was what Jesus endeavored to tell his followers at his time, and that's what Muhammad taught his people at his time, that the kingdom of heaven is like that of a child. The paradise is like that. It's innocence. Something that some of us lost too long ago. We don't understand it anymore. But this is what real Islam is about, innocence. It's about humbleness, and it's about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you understand that, that's what happens when you enter into Islam by choice, then you have, in effect, gone back to the state you were at birth. And that's the meaning of being born again in Islam. That's what Jesus taught, John the Baptist taught, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that. And it wasn't that you had to go in the public and take jump in a river, which they did at that time. It's not to do a display for the people. In fact, we know that today we have bathrooms and bathtubs. You go in your own private area, and when you make your shower, bath, whatever, you do it with the intention of, this is the old me going down the drain, and the new me is coming out. And that's the experience of going through that. That's what it's about. If you elect to become a Muslim, you're saying, in effect, that I want to be a person who does Islam. And Islam comes from a verb in Arabic, aslama, and it means to surrender, submit, obey, insincerity, and peace. You got all of that? Five things. This is what Islam is about. And you can't leave one of them off and still think it's Islam. There has to be a surrender, a total and sweet surrender to the Almighty. And then, after that, is a submission to His commandments and obedience to what He has ordered us to do. A sincerity that you would do it whether anybody else is watching or not, whether you like it or not, you're going to obey because you know that's what you're supposed to do. And then finally, peace. And the peace talking about here is the peace that only will come when you do the other four things, because you're making peace with your Lord. That's the true meaning of Islam, more or less, the English language. And whoever does it is doing Islam, and we don't call them Islamers, because that's the English way to treat a verb, walk, talk, think. But in Arabic, you put mu in front of the verb, mu'adhan, the one who calls the adhan, mutakalam, the one who is the speaker, musalli, the one who is doing salah, muhajir, the one who is doing travel, muhajibah, the one who's wearing hijab, and muslim, somebody who is wearing Islam. So if you really believe there's one God, the real Almighty, and you want to do what He wants you to do, you're trying your best to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven, which is exactly how you were told to do by Jesus in the Gospels, then in essence you're saying you want to be a Muslim. My advice is the same advice that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave when somebody asked him, tell us about the deen, something that only you could tell us. He said, "Qul amantullah tum astaqim," which means more or less in English, say, I believe in Allah, and then be steadfast on what you said. When you come into Islam, you take one step only. Only one. But it's the biggest step of your whole life. And it's the first step of a journey of 1,000 steps, times 1,000 steps. But that first step is to say the Shahada. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu Muhammadin abduhu wa rasul. Whoever says that with firm conviction in their heart and dies upon that, they will die as a Muslim, and the fire of hell is forbidden to them. This is Hadith Sahih. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi said that. Even if they have as much iman as a seed, a tiny seed, then this is a good thing. So that was some good news. But also there's some other news that goes with this. Whoever comes into Islam with this saying of La ilaha illallah, it's got everything here, this thing. It's got everything. It's long. It's in chapter 29, verse 2 and 3. وَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يُتْرِكُوا أَنْ يَقُلُوا أَمَانًا. Do the human beings think think that they're going to be left alone on saying we believe that they will not be put into Houston, which means fitna? Do the human beings think they're going to say, I believe in Allah, and they're not going to be put into a great calamity, a big test? Nope. Just as Allah put the people before, min kalit, before, into these big calamities, He's going to do the same here, and it's going to be for what reason? To show those who are the being ascetic, telling the truth, and expose those who are the kadhib, liars. Kadhib, they are liars. So there's testing. Allah tells you in the Quran that He is going to test you in everything, from your wealth to your family. It's all going to be a big test for you. That's a promise of Allah. Other religions, they'll tell you, well, I'll do it. If you come in our religion, everything's going to be easy. You're going to get money, the Lord's going to bless you. Yeah, right. They tell you that. They'll promise you anything. Just come join. You don't believe me? Go listen to the missionaries in Africa right now trying to convert Muslims to Christianity. They will tell them anything to get them to become Christian. And listen to this. Our call is this. If you come to Islam, we can't promise you paradise. We can't promise you Jannah. We can't promise you an easy life here. We can't promise you anything except hell. We can promise you that. Screw up, you can have that. That'll work. Is that right? I'm asking you, is that what we got or not?
Yeah.
I can tell you that. But if you said, no, Yusuf, I want you to put in writing right now today that if I don't get to go to paradise, you're going to go to hell with me. No. No. So that's it, you know. And by the way, in other religions, they tell you, who is the best people and the ones that are going to be the highest in the next life? What will they tell you? They're priests, they're bishops, preachers, huh? And the Pope, whoa! He's got his own personal deal, you know, right? According to them, even angels got to make appointments to come see him. But we don't have that. In fact, it's the opposite. Allah is going to start the hellfire. Allah is going to start up hellfire with Muslim scholars. Listen to that. This is Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Allah is going to start the hellfire with Muslim scholars who preached it but didn't live it. What do you think? Still want to be Muslim? You do bomb classes on Tuesday. Sorry. Sorry, I'm leaving anyway. We have 3 minutes to Isha. In fact, I'm looking at the clock. It's 2 minutes. I think we're going to do the 8 o'clock, yeah?
Yes. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Hey, what if none of us went up there? They'd have to wait. So if somebody wants to make their shahada now, that's a good idea because you don't know if you're going to live till tomorrow. But if you can guarantee you're going to live till tomorrow, that's pretty good. If anybody wants to, this it's open. You're asking. I give you the advice. My advice is what the Prophet said, say, I believe in Allah, then be steadfast on what he said. You want to do that, you can. Okay. Question? The whole story how I came to Islam. Very easy. YUSUFESTES.com. Whole story is right there. Next question. Next question. Bible? Okay, go to 911bible.com. Next question. A co-worker was a priest before and now. Okay, this one you send him to BibleIslam.com. What's the concept of Trinity and Christianity and how did, okay. This one is IslamCode.com. How do you respond to Islam and terrorism? This one is IslamNewsroom.com, and in the box type in the word terrorism. Giving dawah. Go to search for Islam, type in the word D-A-W-A. And how old were you when you converted? That's not the right question. The question is, how old am I now? I'm 17. Sahabi used to measure their age according to when they came to Islam. I'm 17 and a half. Three quarters. Still under age. It's a great time to do it. I know you don't remember all the websites, do you? Do you?
No.
No, you don't remember. So what you need is the links to Islam, right? You need the links. Tell me, I need the links to Islam. Let me use that.
You need the links to Islam.
.com. Links to Islam.com, and you'll find all of the sites that are listed there that I just told you. Got it? That was easy to do the questions, wasn't it? I didn't waste my 17 years. I love all of you for Allah. May Allah accept your salam, and Allah forgive all of us and give us Jannah. Amen.